afternoon and welcome to the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from the Palms along with Matt Tritt and I'm John Coffey. We'll be talking college basketball and indoor track and field and maybe a little bit of cross-country track and field as well during our show here today. As Matt, another good week for basketball. Northwest men's and women's teams going 2-0 this past week, opening up the home portion of their schedule. In as far as the MIAA goes for the women and for the Northwest men, just the first time they played at home all season long, and both got off to a pretty good start this past week.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, the only MIAA team that has both teams sitting at 2-0 through conference play for through a couple games. So a really good start for both the men's and women's basketball teams. Good chance for our fans to get out and take those games in. And looking forward to the first true road trip for both of these teams as they're heading off to take on Fort Hays State and Nebraska Kearney. And, you know, the upside, you get two of the toughest ones out of the way, at least on the women's side. The men's side, Hays is always a tough place. And, of course, they've had their struggles in Kearney and men's basketball. But if you're going on the road, you're Northwest Missouri State, you know you're going to get the kitchen sink thrown at you. So there should be a couple good opportunities for both these teams to pick up a couple more to where, again, you know, we're hitting mid-December. We still have more conference games beyond that. So some really important games early on in the season for both squads.
And you touched on it just a little bit for the women in particular, but even opening up at home, they opened up with Missouri Southern and Pittsburgh State, two very good basketball teams, and both coming off good years last year. Pittsburgh State coming into that matchup Saturday, they were undefeated, and Northwest came up and played very well in both of those games.
Yeah, those are were big ones to start things off and to be able to come out swinging and just kind of put their foot down and just say, hey, we're here, you know, and that's a big one. I think you think about Missouri Southern going in and making it to the Sweet 16 last year, being 1 point away or 2 points away from heading into the Elite Eight with a win over Minnesota Duluth, but they had a lot of roster turnover. So it's a very different looking Lions team than we were used to seeing a year ago that did make that run. But I think there's a lot of people in the league that would sit down and say Pittsburgh State might actually be the best women's basketball team in the conference. And the Bearcats didn't only hand them their first loss, but a 10-point loss for Pittsburgh State, to where they did hang around through that second half, and they're a really good team. But it did feel like the Bearcats were in control throughout that fourth quarter. So that's a big-time W for this team. And now, again, a really tough place to play in Hays, a really tough place to play in Kearney, a couple teams with some really good traditions. Fort Hays missed the NCAA tournament last year, but they're off to a roaring 6-0 start. It's a Kearney team that was in the NCAA tournament a season ago, so these will be some tough matchups, but looking forward to them. I think this is a team that doesn't really shy away from challenges.
No, I don't think they do, and it just seems like everything's coming together. You're getting great contribution by everybody that's on the floor, not only scoring-wise, but I think they all come out and contribute on the defensive side. They've been doing a nice job on the boards, taking care of the basketball, just everything you would want out of a basketball team. They're just being very fundamentally sound right now.
Yeah, it's a pretty unselfish group as a whole, to where you might have one player come out and score 15 one night and then turn around and score 5 and pull down a few rebounds and find other ways to make that impact here so far this season. I mean, Molly Harton has been, you know, kind of the poster child for that, going for 15 a night, and then she came back this last game with that win over Pitt. 8 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Lindsay Kelderman's come up with some big shots. Emma was playing huge, huge minutes coming off the bench right now for Northwest, especially on the glass, stepping in, rebounding, playing really good defense. And then a player that we talked a lot about as a freshman and had a good season last year, but maybe not quite there point-wise that we've been used to seeing, is Peyton Kelderman. I feel like her defense has stepped it up a notch. She's been really good on that end of the floor, but then stepped up and hit a clutch three that kind of sealed things and put the game away on Saturday against Pittsburgh State. So only points of the day came in a clutch moment. So it is a team that is finding a lot of different ways to step in and contribute wherever they can. So it's been fun and kind of looking forward to seeing what the next step is for that group.
Oh, no doubt about it. And that atmosphere, too, Saturday. A lot of people were there early for both of those games. And we touched on it. It really seemed like it had a late season feel to it, just the way the crowd was there getting into the game. And that was also something that's fun, the way the crowds really rallied around this team.
Yeah, you know, we did mention that on Saturday. You do kind of get to late January, February before you start to see some of those crowds. And, of course, you go into the holidays and people are going a lot of different directions and a lot of things are going on. I feel like the city of Maryville's done a nice job of having a lot of really good events for folks to go out and shop and families and all this stuff. But it does take a little bit away from some of those games. We don't always see great crowds. But, boy, they were into it. It was a packed house. It was really good, especially for that Saturday against Pittsburgh State. So I feel like Northwest Missouri State fans and alumni overall kind of got the feeling of what was going on the women's side of things and how special that men's team is. And So it was a really good crowd in the atmosphere, and you could tell they really stepped in and fed off of it, and that was something that we're used to seeing that a little closer to March, but it's pretty cool to see in December.
And for the men's team, 2-0 in conference play, a couple of wins against Missouri Southern and also Pittsburgh State going up, and kind of all the teams that had a little bit of size inside too.
Yeah, those are some teams that they're going to create some problems for a lot of folks throughout the conference season. Well, heck, what was it? Was it Pittsburgh State that got beat by a buzzer beater? No, Missouri Southern got beat by a buzzer beater at Missouri Western. That was one that they probably should have pulled out. I mean, that was one that the Bearcats also sat there and went toe-to-toe with and withstood a run and came out with a four-point victory over the Lions. And then, you know, a Pittsburgh State team that is much improved, and they've got some good ball players out there that, you know, they're sitting there. It's a tie ball game in the last 5 minutes. And then Northwest, all right, 10-0 run and put that one away right there. So they're going through. They're taking everybody's best shots. We're seeing some improved teams, especially a couple teams with second-year head coaches of, all right, got a feel for what this league was about last year and upping the ante here this season. So they withstood that, got a couple of good wins. I feel like it's a Bearcat team, too, that's, you know, all right, we're facing a little bit of adversity here early on in this season. We're kind of figuring out how to weave our way through that to where that's going to benefit this team whenever they have one of those long, tough road trips through a January into February, whenever you need to grind out a victory. These are going to be the ones you can lean back on and really build off of.
Yeah, I really think it's kind of a work in progress right now on the men's side, trying to fill the roles that perhaps Diego had a year ago, or Luke Waters, trying to have some people to kind of step up in those particular roles. Now it's a very experienced group coming back that have had a lot of minutes out there, but each team's a little bit different. I think this team's going to just continue to get better as the season goes along.
I think you're right. You know, you can't really sit there and say we're going to replace this guy with this guy and that guy with that guy. It's more that Moneyball theme where we're going to replace them in the aggregate. You know, how are we going to get replicate that energy? Well, everybody's going to step it up in this way. How are you going to replicate those points? And it's a team effort of coming together and everybody kind of pulling their weight. And I feel like one of the guys we've seen has really come on and played well early in this season and will be an X factor as we head down the stretch is going to be Byron Alexander, who's a guest you're going to have on the show today too, that, you know, he's came out and scored, what, 14 points the other night against Pittsburgh State and came up with some key rebounds. He's playing really good defense and bringing a lot of energy to the floor, too. And, you know, a fantastic freshman year. He had to battle through a little bit that sophomore season but still played well. Now we're kind of seeing him take on a little bit more of a leadership role for this team, too. So it's been fun to see him continue to progress and a lot of these guys overall having to step in and pick up that role. And I think to this point, you know, couple losses, but overall you're kind of seeing them do what they need to do and everybody's kind of growing together.
And you look at Bennett Sturts, this week's MIAA Player of the Week, the second honor that the Bearcats have been bestowed upon. Earlier this year, Wes Dreamer received that honor, but Bennett coming off a very good week.
Yeah, I mean, boy, doesn't it feel like you could just say every week a bit coming off a very good week? He's so quiet about it. He's not
just pretty as consistent, I think, any player we've seen in a long time.
Just so consistent and even keel, never too high, never too low, and will hit some big time shots. And he is one of those guys, you know, a very unfair comparison. You'd sit there and you watch Justin Fitz play and look at the box score and say, when did he have time to score 19 points? He was doing everything else on the floor. Bennett's kind of a similar guy in that way, that nothing's too over the top or too crazy, but he's going to find a way to get it done and make some of those winning plays to help a team win. So he's really continued to step up and pull that workload.
Yeah, you look at some of the numbers he's put up, not only scoring-wise, but among the leaders at each game in assists as well, does a good job on the boards, just does it all out there.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, too, I say that he doesn't do anything too loud. We'll say they did have an alley-oop to him that he went up awfully high and brought that sucker down. So he's been a lot of fun to watch. And, again, very early, still in just a sophomore season.
That's really unbelievable. He didn't play like a freshman last year at all, and you're not seeing any drop-off. You hear some people talk about a sophomore slump or something, but not seeing that at all out of Bennett.
There's something about being a coach's kid, I think, that he just kind of has a certain mindset about him. Of course, his dad, Roger's a Missouri High School Basketball Hall of Fame coach for many years there in Liberty. And so here we see Bennett kind of stepping up and not allowing himself to soak up those headlines or allow some of those honors like the MIAA Player of the Week to go to his head. He's going to play his game.
You know, another guy that's giving them some minutes when he gets off the bench, Spencer Somers, really stepped up. A guy that's really put in the work in the offseason, also a guy that's been around the program but hadn't really received a lot of minutes up until this year, his junior season, and he's making the most of it right now.
You know, you feel like when you look at some of these seasons for Northwest that have just been over the top great, like some guy that you don't expect, steps up and plays some big minutes and fills a big time role. And this might be Spencer Schomer's year because, yeah, what, he redshirted. He's had a couple seasons of mainly bench time. He's a junior, but now he's stepping in, playing some really key moments, knocking down some big shots. You remember there was one sequence against Pittsburgh State as the Bearcats were trying to pull away, knocks down a big three-on-one and comes back the other way, blocks a shot out of bounds, and the crowd comes to their feet and just really not only sparked them on the scoreboard but kind of sparked that energy-wise too. So fun to see a guy that just has been grinding, has been putting in the work, and he can step in and see it pay off.
Again, like the woman they hit on the road this week to go to Fort Hays State as well as Nebraska Kearney. Now on the track and field side of things, the Mill Church McClassic was held this past weekend on the Northwest campus at the Hughes Fieldhouse, and a lot of Northwest athletes really performed well in that event.
Yeah, they did. Well, one guy you talked to last week about a chance to step in and play a big role in his final season at Northwest that almost wasn't his final season was Blake Morgan coming back around. And so, you know, he steps up and has a provisional qualifying high jump. He sets a PR, and he already had the second best high jump all time in program history. He upped that a little bit further too, and that is one heck of a start for a guy to step in like that. The first indoor meet of the season, it goes off. Allie Hammond had a great meet. We'll hear from Drew Atkins coming up, who was an All-American in cross country, who stepped in and was one of the record setters in the Mel Churchma Classic there with his 3,000 meter race. And crazy part is, he ran the fastest time ever in the history of this meet, except for Nate Mueller, which beat him by a tenth of a second in that particular race this weekend. So a heck of a competitor from Staling. Again, a kid that's only a sophomore. So a lot of really good performances in just the first indoor meet. Of course, they'll be heading to Pittsburgh State this weekend for the Crimson and Gold Invitational. So a chance for a lot of these rate runners to double down on that too. But, you know, just the tip of the iceberg for this indoor track and field season. But we've become accustomed to quite a few heading off to the national championship, me and at least a little bit of hardware coming back home with them too.
No doubt about that. And talk about Staley, it's kind of like a Staley High School day here on the coaches shows. We'll have Byron Alexander, a Staley High School grad as well.
You know, we're just bringing them all in, right? So just a little bit of North Kansas City flair here for the coaches show.
Yeah, that is true. Again, we're broadcasting live from the Palms Inn in Maryville on the KXCV KRW Bearcat coaches show. We've got more coming up right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest Missouri community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prenery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for KXEV, KRNW comes from the Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
Welcome back into the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're now talking Northwest Missouri State indoor track and field as we're joined by Northwest head coach Brandon Masters as well as, from Staley, a junior. We're joined by Drew Atkins. Guys, I got a lot just kind of going through the mind. I'm going to try to make sure we don't get any feedback on the air here, Coach Masters. We're good? Mm-hmm. All right. You know, we're battling technical difficulties. It's December. We're getting through right now. So, Drew Atkins, Brandon Masters with us. Guys, appreciate coming on and talking with us. And Coach Masters starting things off, diving right in the indoor season with the Mel Churchman Classic last weekend. Overall, what do you want to see coming from that one? Is that more of a Russ Buster, let's dive back in? Or do you kind of say, all right, this is a good measuring stick for us here to start things off to see where everybody's at?
Sure. You know, Mel T is a great meet early December. It's a chance to kind of just put the spikes on, run, see where we're at. And, you know, a lot of kids are doing some off events, not necessarily their primary event. We have some unique events like the 300 that we don't normally do in January on. And that is a way, just training. I really look at it as a great practice with other teams involved. And if we have that mindset, we manage expectations, we can just go out there and run. And a lot of kids get so fired up. The only thing they remember is how good I was in May.
Yep.
And whether that's state or the end of the collegiate season, we have to really manage those expectations going into the beginning of indoor, because indoor is not outdoor track and field. And we are in the very beginning of our training to be good and tuning up versus at the very end where we should be the best.
Whenever you look and you see six provisional qualifying marks, of course, that all could fluctuate as we go throughout the year. But you kind of say, all right, this is a good boost for the student athletes. This is going to, early on, it's going to pep them up.
Yeah, that's great. And you know, I didn't realize we had six. So I don't even really look at it. You know, we probably would have had a lot more had some of our kids done their primary events. For instance, a lot of our girls did the 600 yard, and that certainly would have been some provisionals in the 400. We're kind of good at that race.
Not
but
bad.
Yeah. But yeah, that's great. That's a great start. And we look at it and really kind of set up. I use it as a create our training for the next mesocycle through winter break mesocycle and use those training numbers to populate a spread, not to be nerding out here, but populate a spreadsheet for training. So it's a pretty important that we run fast. That way we can set up that training.
One of those provisional qualifying marks, the young man with us here, Drew Atkins, the 3,000 meters coming up, and right there, 1-2 with Nate Mueller. You're trading in the cross-country spikes, going indoors and getting the indoor track season. Has that kind of changed the fluctuate? Obviously, it's much different. It's a different different length, of course, but going from that outdoor course to indoor, the circle, just your thoughts early.
Yeah, obviously felt great in that 3K. Just with Nate Mueller, it was a fun one. We had Riley pace us for a little bit, just at 5K pace. So we're going to run a 5K at Pitt at that, try to run it at that pace. And, yeah, it was just super, super fun to kind of ride the cross fitness out into the start of the indoor season and just try to run fast here.
I think that your time was in the 8:20s. It came out to be about 4:31 per mile. I mean, that's kind of flying, right? I mean, what do you want to see out of yourself early in the season? And ultimately, where's the ceiling for Drew Atkins this year?
Yeah, I hope my ceiling's pretty high. But yeah, just this early, just try to get my feet under me on the track and try to get a national qualifying mark here in a week. So just. Just have fun with it at the same time. Make sure I'm, you know, cheering on my teammates as well, and have them with me. That's been huge too.
Well, Coach mentioned it that, you know, early on this is great, but we're kind of worried about what's coming up at the end of the season. That is ultimately, you know, what you're going to remember in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right there with Nate. You guys finishing 1-2. You're a tenth of a second off. I mean, how competitive is that down the stretch?
Oh yeah. Obviously, we did kind of jogging in. We were kind of joking a little bit last 100, but yeah, just being able to go to practice and you know, never win a workout. That's the best part about it is we're always competing with each other. I guess just throughout practice, that's huge. That's gonna allow us to run really fast. Just running together every day.
You know, let me jump in here because it was funny. The meet this past weekend. Yes, the guys ran well in the 3K. But they ran the pace that they're going to run this weekend in the 5K. So they weren't trying to run fast in the 3K.
This
happened to be a provisional, and what'd you say, 4:31 a mile. They're going to run 2,000 more meters at that pace. And that's the goal, is to try to make it into nationals and set a really nice mark early coming off that cross fitness and go ahead and set a mark this weekend at Pitt. But we do need to feel the pace. We got to go turn left and go around circles a lot. So that's why we kind of, you know, we had that rust buster for the 3K. But at the end of the race, they're just talking and having fun coming in. It's like, oh, who's going to win? You know, you take it. No, you take it. You know, it's having some fun. Maybe some rock, paper, scissors came out. I'm not going to say. But it was pretty awesome just to see them at the fitness level they're at. They're ready to go. And that's what's exciting about this race this weekend, is we're going to have other people there so they don't have to do it by themselves. Now, they never have to do that by themselves because they have each other, which is fantastic. And when you're out there by yourself trying to solo a race, it's very, very difficult. But having a buddy there to hook on to, hey, you take the lead, I'll take the lead, and get that time, that's ultimately what we're trying to do this weekend at Pittsburgh for those two gentlemen.
But you have to know how mind-blowing that is for an average human like myself to hear that you guys are going with that time, but you're also enjoying it as you're coming down the stretch. I feel like that would just be like the most, like everything I could possibly do, and I'm still not reaching that time. That's so impressive. When you think about the iron sharpens iron and all the cliches put out there, mm-hmm. How fun has that been? Nate transferring in, Iowa State, building that relationship, and now you two through a cross country and now to a track and field season, just really building.
Yeah, like I said, it's just all the hard work we've both put in. You know, we've made a lot of sacrifices to get to this point, and I'm super proud of him, how he's kind of transferred in and immediately been a leader on the team and taking that role. So yeah, I mean, just obviously iron sharpens iron, like they always say, and I think it speaks true here.
The cross-country season, you're an All-American. You come out and run that 10K at the national meet, 30 minutes, 15.5 seconds. That was 4:52 per mile. Nate was coming in right behind you there in the Northwest team as well. How special is that? You're just a sophomore. You come in, you're an All-American, and just really setting the tone. You're still so early in your career, mm-hmm. but you're already so far up.
Yeah, obviously I can't let my head get too big because you know, I am still rooming with Reese Smith, so you know, walking out of my bedroom, seeing him sip a cup of coffee, you know, that's you know, it just keeps me grounded, and yeah, just at that regional meet, I didn't run too well. I ran like 30 seconds slower than I did at the national meet, and you know, Nate passed me, and he slapped me on the chest and said, "Hey, let's go," you know, and I kind of just latched onto him. And That's kind of been the whole season, is we're going to work together, and if I'm feeling bad, he's going to take me and, you know, will me to it. So that's I think that speaks to both of it. I'm not the All-American. It's, you know, everyone that has got me to this point is the reason I want it. So, yeah.
We're talking with Drew Atkins and Brandon Masters here, the Northwest Bearcat Coaches Show, talking cross-country and indoor track and field right now. And Coach Masters, you hear that – just the selflessness out of what can be a very individualized sport. If you want to go ahead and pump up your own yourself in your head, something Drew isn't doing, a lot of these guys, just feels like there is so much potential for this team heading into the winter.
Well, that's exactly what we've been working on. I've been working on for years now. This is my sixth year, and culture was was always at the top of my mind, and now we have that culture, and we talk about you know, just the show of cliches, you know, but family, but it's true. I mean, this is a culture thing with this team, and the last 2 years it's flipped, and amazing. These kids are doing it for the right reason. They're counting on each other. You know, it's very difficult to do by yourself. And we're trying to win team championships. We're trying to score highly at the national level. Yes, it's an individual sport, but you train every day with your team, your family, your friends. And with the talent level that we have and the guys that we expect to do well, they're holding each other accountable. We no longer have to do that as coaches. And that's a special time, right, when you have your team that's holding each other accountable. I don't have to be the bad guy anymore, which is really nice. I enjoy that. But this team is, they've really just kind of run away with it, and the culture's just taken off. And it's guys like Drew that came in the program. And, yeah, he's only a sophomore, but my goodness, he's a huge leader for us because of work ethic. And I wouldn't say Drew is the most vocal leader. He's not going to be rah, rah, rah everywhere. But he's going to do it by example. He's going to work hard, and he's going to have those conversations with people. And that's what makes this team different than, you know, other teams down the road, or even comparing to ourselves a few years ago.
Drew, whenever you're getting recruited, you're thinking about coming to Northwest Missouri State, I think as a young guy it'd be easy to get on campus and have some leaders that could kind of, they're not working that hard, so I'm going to take a step back too. Mm-hmm. What is it about the culture, the fit, that you come in and not only do you excel, but you're kind of setting a new bar for Northwest Missouri State and transitioning to be a leader at so young?
Yeah, when I came in, we had leaders, Jake Norris and Reese Smith. You know, we had Trevor, who graduated last year. You know, they were huge for us, huge for me coming in. Just, you know, I can look to somebody and see how hard they work, how hard they're practicing. They're hitting every mileage every week. They're hitting, you know, they're doing the right stuff outside of the sport. So, you know, to come in and see people doing good, the 2 hours of practice and then the 22 hours outside of it, that's been huge. I think that speaks to the culture we're kind of creating here.
22 hours outside of practice?
Mm-hmm. I've said that for years. It's not about the 2 hours that you get with the coaches. It's about the 22 hours you spend outside of practice that matters. That's sleep. That's food. That's the training and countless miles that these guys run. So those hours are more important than the 2 hours that we get them. So I think that's always been a point for us is what are you doing in the 22?
And making those right decisions, which, mm-hmm. of course, there's a leisure time where you can kind of make that call of should I go to bed or should I go out and do something else? And, of course, if you're a runner, I feel like that it really impacts you maybe more than in some other sports too. But talking Northwest indoor track and field, before we let go on cross country, young team, the expectations taking that little step up after making it to the national meet last year?
Oh, yeah. I think next year we're obviously looking to do something crazy. This year we were looking to go to the national meet. Obviously, Reese Smith goes down. That was a huge hit to our program. But just kind of fighting through that adversity and still getting to the national meet and doing something there. I don't know what we placed, but I think just getting there was huge for us because I think Reese is our best guy in any event. So Just getting to that national meet this year is going to help us a lot next year and try to do something, pretty special.
First time there is always the hardest. And these guys, a few weeks before conference, four weeks or so before mm-hmm. conference, they had a conversation with Reese and said, hey, I'm done for the cross season. I'm going to work towards track and field indoors because of this situation. And you could see their heads held low for a little bit. And then all of a sudden, they said, you know what? It's on us now. And so it was a huge growing moment. This team's going to be a lot better next year because of that situation, and they succeeded. So next year, he's right. They all come back. They're so talented, and they already did it without Reese. And so they know that they can do it again at an even higher level.
You've got some really good field events and sprinters. We go into the track and field season, but how big of a strength are these guys like Drew? They're going to be the long distance out there for you.
Well, it's huge, absolutely, and more than that, it's again the day in, day out. Everybody knows. Everybody looks at them and goes, "Man, those guys are working. They're putting the mileage in." I don't know what Drew. How many miles you're supposed to be on these last couple of weeks?
Oh, I'm only hitting 60 this week.
But it's only 60.
It's normally around 80.
Yeah. So. I understand the 22 of the 24, you're not doing 80 miles a week in 2 hours, right, and having practice. So they're doing the right stuff. And so and the sprinters and the jumpers, they see that, and they know how good they are. So that's exciting, again, it's the leadership, it's the culture, and that's what pushes these guys.
All right, you talked about nerding out a little bit ago. I got to ask a couple nerdy questions. What's the long run? Like that you're going for every week if you're getting to 80 miles in a week?
Yeah, so typically I'm running 16. Is kind of the sweet spot for me. I'm sure that'll go up next year, but hopefully. Just 16, anywhere from 14 to 16 is usually my long run.
16 was actually Coach Master's sweet spot too at Emporia State. That's what he typically run every other day. But.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, 16.
16.
Yeah, meters. Yeah.
16 is the long, so what is an average day aside from that?
About 10. 10, maybe I'll throw like a double in there for 6 miles or 5 miles. So, yeah.
How much do you work in speed work, or is that more pace work, or how does that figure in?
Yeah, so we spend a lot of time at tempo during cross season. We're doing a lot of tempos, a lot of threshold stuff, and then track. You got to get a little bit of speed under you so you can close. So just these last, 2 weeks after nationals, we've kind of just been running a little faster just to make sure we're comfortable at a little faster pace.
What is the average mile, a pace per mile, if you're going 16?
Anywhere from it depends on the long run. We could do like a long run workout, and that would be 5:30s, 5:30 per mile, or we could just do an easy long run. It'd be like 7 flat. So
that's the easy.
that is
moving right now. So all right, so 5K goal when you head to Pittsburgh State this weekend. What are we looking at?
Yeah, I think the goal is sub 14. That's the auto qualifier. Kind of you're gonna get in if you go under 14, and I guess that's kind of been the goal for the last 2 weeks, just hammering down that you know, 66 per lap, 67. So I think that's the goal.
And those are great goals, awesome to have and be early this season and say we can come out and do this. Coach, if you see these guys step up, they hit these marks, they get that automatic, how does it shift from there? Is it saying looking at a different event? Does it change up the training? How does it kind of work for these guys?
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at just take Blake this weekend. Blake jumped 2 meters 15, 7 feet half inch. He's in. We don't have to worry about it, right? In last year, we chased marks and chased marks and chased marks and tried to get him into nationals. We finally got it late. We don't have to do that this year, you know. So Blake's in. Now we have a big training segment. It changes everything. Now, so we don't have to be – we don't have a win-loss record, right? We don't have to be good every weekend. We have to be good when it counts. Now that Blake is into nationals, we already know he's into conference. So those are the two meets that matter. So we're going to train differently now that he's in and we don't have to peak him up for – you know, trying to qualify, right? So that's what Drew and Nate are trying to do this weekend, is let's go hit a 5K time. Let's go get sub 14. We feel very comfortable that that'll be into the national meet. It's not an automatic guarantee, but we feel comfortable that that should get him in, all right, him and Nate. So if they do that this weekend, then, yeah, it changes training, and we can kind of take a step back and go, okay, let's put a big segment in here, big work segment. Let's get better and change up so we don't have to run in January. We don't have to run early February. We just have to run late February conference, and then we already know we're into nationals. So it's a big difference for us that we can take a sigh of relief, take the stress off. We know we're in the meet. And you know, when you're chasing marks, it's hard to hit those marks. When you just relax and you're running, it's a different animal.
Drew, when you line it up at the Crimson and Gold Invitational this weekend, are you pretty loose, or is that one that you think you're thinking about the mark? Is that weigh on you a little bit until you get a couple laps and you kind of, all right, I'm established, I'm fine?
Yeah, I guess you know, you're nervous before every race, no matter what you're doing. You know, I was super nervous this weekend, just running the 3K at the 5K. You know, so yeah, I guess just, you know, calming yourself down through those first couple laps and knowing you can do it is that's kind of how I'm going to get through it.
Well, it should be pretty cool as the Northwest has one indoor track and field meet under their belt heading to Pittsburgh, Kansas this weekend for the Crimson and Gold Invitational. Drew, looking forward to some impressive times. I know you'll put those up. Coach Masters, Drew, thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Northwest Missouri State indoor track and field heading to Pittsburgh, Kansas on Saturday. We will take a break and be back with more on KXCV, KLRNW.
Support for KXCV, KLRNW comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information available at 660-241-5001.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Sure Ag LLC with locations in Forest City, Savannah, and Osborne. Paxton, Randy, Rich, and the Sure Ag team provide the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies. More info on products and service at 660-446-3376.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student-athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Maryville Forum, providing local news, sports, and information Monday through Friday, and news updates throughout the day at MarryvilleDailyForum.com. More at 660-562-2424.
Support for KXEV, KLRNW comes from The Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as we continue on and talk men's basketball. As Byron Alexander joining us, a 6'4 junior out of Kansas City and Staley High School. And Byron, it's good to have you with us here on the show this afternoon.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, I had you on after the game Saturday, and you're going to be an old pro at this by the time we're done, right?
I hope so.
But let's talk overall about the season up to this particular point. You're coming in right now 5-2, got off to a great start in the MIAA with two home wins this past weekend with Missouri Southern and also Pittsburgh State on Saturday. Overall, just talk about the way this team's coming together right now.
This team this year, we're still finding ourselves. I mean, it is pretty early in the season, but, you know, I mean, every week is an opportunity to get better, and I feel like this upcoming week is going to be a good challenge.
It certainly is. You face a Fort Hays State team that they've just been on the very outside looking in the past two seasons as far as getting into the national tournament. Always right among the top two or three in the MIAA. It seems like you're in, you're out, and a very fundamentally sound team that it seems like they have every year.
Yeah, the very physical team, too. Every year we play them, it's always a battle.
Yeah, and I guess you kind of know what you're getting with that team from a standpoint is from year in, year out, is generally the same type of team out there, it seems like.
Yeah, they usually don't switch up how they go about their business, so, I mean, it's going to be a challenge.
And as far as you this season, right now third on the team in scoring, second on the team in assists, also very consistent at the free throw line, about 89% or so there at the free throw line as well. Just your offensive numbers look very good, but on top of that, it looks like game in, game out, you're drawing one of the tough defensive assignments with some of the best players on the other side every week.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
So what do you, a lot of times when it comes to playing the type of defense you do, it's just a matter of the will out there and the hard work that you put in on the defensive side. Just talk about what you try to do as far as being a top defender.
Well, I just try to execute the scout. I mean, our scouts pretty much lay out exactly how our opponents are gonna play, so I look at it and then I just say, I don't want you to score on me.
Well, you've done a pretty good job with that. I think seems like between you and Isaiah both out there, you guys seem to really take defense to a whole new level.
Yeah, especially Isaiah. You know, Isaiah, he's also up there with me where he guards one of the better players on each team that we play. You know, it's just like, I think he has the same mindset where it's just like, you know, I don't want to be the reason that they get another point.
Yeah, well, you've done a great job on that, doing a good job on the boards as well. On the offensive side, just talk about some of the improvements on the offensive side. It seems like you're really becoming a very consistent part of the offense there.
Honestly, I just feel comfortable. So, I mean, you know, we go through our offense and I'm one of the main trigger points, you know, so it's nice to, you know, have someone other than just one person or two people to, you know, consistently get buckets for the team.
And also second on the team in assists, you've done a good job distributing it as well.
Yeah. Every day I practice, I have to work on a lot of stuff, so I mean, passing is a part of that.
What's been the biggest change this year? Every team, every year, even though you've got a bunch of guys that have been together as long as you guys have been, it's just there's always a little bit of difference as far as the culture and everything to each particular team and what brings it everything together. From your standpoint, what's some of the things you see out of this group this year?
The main difference I see is honestly just like our overall competitiveness. You know, like, we're a competitive team. We kind of been that way for a long time, being able to compete with other teams. But this year in particular, we have struggled in close games, especially to, you know, take it to the next level. And, you know, early in the season, it's kind of hard, you know, like, we're still getting in the swing of things, like, through offense and defense. But these coming games, like, every week is a new opportunity to get better and to compete. So, especially this week with Fort Hays and Kearney. So they're gonna bring energy, and we're gonna have to bring energy too in order to win.
I thought, at least on the defensive side, one of the most impressive games I've seen you guys play all year was just before Thanksgiving, that trip to St. Louis against Missouri St. Louis. It just seemed like you guys were in their face from the very start, getting the passing lanes, and just they just looked like they were a very frustrated team when they had the ball.
Yeah, we were dialed in, you know, like executed the scout to a T, and just played our game, honestly, and, you know, that's what we got to do.
Also, when you talk about executing the scouting report, imagine one of the things that's kind of tough for you guys is more often than not, it seems like the opposing team comes in with a new wrinkle against Northwest that they haven't shown against anybody. Just talk about having to be flexible out there with the scouting report from game in, game out.
Well, I mean, just like any other team, you know, like, we'll have to adjust if our scout doesn't work. And, other teams have to do the same thing. That's just the beauty of basketball. You know, you have to continually evolve and change to meet, you know, those needs in order to win the game.
And you guys always get the best shot from an opponent. That kind of target on your back's been there from day one for you guys since you come into this program.
Yes, every year we say it, that we're going to face everyone's best, you know, and it's just something you got to do as a competitor, I guess.
Now, as you mentioned, and what we were talking about before we went on the air, another long trip coming up this time out to Hayes, and then you make that trip up to Kearney after that. They've only had two home games so far this season, and a lot of your trips have been on neutral site, the neutral floors and everything, but still it's been some trips up to Aberdeen, over to St. Louis. Of course, St. Louis or St. Joseph, just kind of a short trip. That's almost like a home away from home down there when you guys go down and play. But guys really get the routine down for some of these long trips, don't you?
Yeah, we do, but at the same time, you know, our legs get a little sore just being in cramped space with a bunch of tall guys.
No doubt about that. As far as kind of the, and I think we talked a little bit about this with you Saturday after the game too, but got finals week to kind of go through this week. And it seems like in past years, maybe you had the entire week off before having to worry about getting back on the floor. But this year, you got that conference game there on the Thursday.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. We had to make sure that all of our finals were done early in the week. That way, we didn't get in the way of our game plan against Fort Hayes. But you know, at the same time, like I don't really pay much attention to it that much.
Yeah, I guess by this point you're kind of used to the game plan and as far as how to navigate through finals week.
Yeah. I had my fair share of finals.
Well, it's Tuesday, so have you had many so far?
I've had three.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Are you about done?
Got one more. I got to do that one tomorrow morning, but other than that, I'm finished.
Well, that's good. That's good to get it out of the way. You don't have to worry on Thursday on that trip then.
That's true.
All right. Well, Byron, thanks a lot for being with us here on the Coach's Show, and we'll look forward to watching you this weekend.
Thank you.
Okay, that's Byron Alexander with us here on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coach's Show, as the Bearcat men, as well as the women, will be making that trip to Hayes on Thursday to face Fort Hays State, then up on Saturday to battle Nebraska Kearney. Hear both of those right here on KXCV KRNW. We'll be back, and we've got more coming up right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at nwmcell.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Twaddle Realty. Whether it's residential, commercial, or a farm property, broker Brian Twaddle can list it and market it through custom 3D virtual tours, pictures, and more. For information on all listings in the Maryville area, 562-7562 or online at twaddlerealty.com.
Underwriting for this program is provided by Tri-State Ford and Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More information available at tristatefordlincoln.com or 660-562-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout Bearcat Nation.
Support for KXEV, KLRNW comes from the Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
Awful. And welcome back inside the Palms here on the KXEV KLRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're talking Northwest Missouri State women's basketball. Northwest head coach Austin Meyer and assistant coach Chris Guest is joining us. Guys, appreciate coming on and talking with us. We've had the student athletes. It's good to see a couple fresh faces on with us.
Yeah, sorry, we got a little bit older here with Coach Guest here. But obviously he's been great for our program so far, and off to a good start. But some big games coming up. Two of the toughest places to play in the league, so it'll be a challenge for sure.
Colin McDonough has in the game notes that you two are the same age.
does he look younger or do I look older? Which one is it?
You both look 29.
Yeah, answer that, Matt.
You both look great. Bearcat women's basketball, 7-0 to start the season, 2-0 in MIAA play. And before we move forward, just real quick, that going through Southern and Pittsburgh State, couple tournament teams from a year ago, you pick up a couple wins. Of course, Southern had some turnover from that previous season, but they're still very talented. And Pittsburgh State, one of the best teams in the conference. That's a huge start for the league play, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, like you said, there's some turnover with Missouri Southern, but they brought in some good transfers. Their post player was really good. She had, I think, 25 on us, really skilled in there. And, you know, we didn't feel like we played very good offensively in the first half, but played a little better second half. Thought we played pretty well defensively. And then in the Pitt State game, thought we were really good defensively pretty much the whole game. You know, their shooter made a couple shots on us on some switches, but overall we were pretty good and played hard, and then offense got going a little bit in the second half.
Bearcats undefeated. Coach Guess, we look at the way this team's performing, it does feel like, hey, non-conference was really good, but then took another big step forward. Just every day this team is finding different ways to get better and continue to just evolve and grow. What have you seen as maybe been the biggest jump since that first practice to here we are sitting in mid-December?
I think it's our defense. I think it's the defense has found a way to continue to keep us in games when we've been a little stagnant on offense, stand around, miss some shots, miss a couple layups. And if you go back and look, it's we're getting 3-4 stops in a row. And then all of a sudden, we'll put together a really good stretch, and then you look up and you're up 7. So I think the defenses continue to improve, and we've become pretty stingy.
You know, that's kind of been a calling card for Northwest these last few years, but it's been a different style of play. Now all of a sudden, you can get up and down, but then if someone wants to stop into that half-court set, we're seeing that brick wall pop up right again. It has to be kind of a point of pride for you, Coach, to say, this group hasn't lost it on that end of the floor.
Yeah, I think early, obviously, with Coach coming in, kind of our offensive coordinator, and we're playing faster and obviously much improved offensively. That, you know, in the past we were pretty good defensively, and sometimes in practice we'd be so good defensively, I felt like we hurt our confidence offensively when we're playing against ourselves. So, you know, we focused a lot more on offense early on with our new transition and the different things we were doing, and so I think our defense wasn't very good that first weekend, and we've been able to focus more defensively now. Our scout guys that come in and practice with us have been awesome for us, and now we're able to really pick that into the basketball up, and I think that's where we've seen our improvement of late.
Of course, there are going to be times where a basketball team just ball's not going in, a slow night offensively, but if you can play defense, take care of the basketball, you're going to win a lot of games. At this point, of course, playing that defense we talked about too, only averaging 12 turnovers per game, that is tops in the MIAA, that is top 10 in NCAA Division II. Is it just a group of guards that have been together, they've matured, and they're just used to the MIAA and what it takes, that they're doing a great job of taking care of the ball so far?
Yeah, I think, you know, the experience you talked about, we've got a lot of kids that have played in this league for multiple years now. Just how smart they are, you know, they've picked up what we're trying to do offensively. I mean, you think about, we talked earlier about, you know, 30, 35 more possessions a game for us. Well, you know, against Pitt State on Saturday, we had 5 turnovers for the game. So that's pretty impressive that you're not dribbling off your foot or, you know, throwing it out of bounds more times than not. But it was a little concerning for me playing faster. Are we still going to be able to take care of the ball? And we've shown we can do that. The other side of it was, you know, Coach Guest was huge in getting us to send more people to the offensive glass. And I was a little concerned about our transition defense if we did that, but luckily we haven't sacrificed that. We've been able, you know, we had a great offensive rebounding game on Saturday. So our kids, the experience, it makes a difference. It does. You know, they know the drills in practice. They know what to expect. They can coach themselves on the floor. So all that stuff does make a difference.
You know, one of those players we saw have a big impact, of course, we've been talking about Emma Atwood for a couple of years now, but came out, has really played well off the bench, had 9 rebounds in that game against Missouri Southern, 4 offensively. Coach Guest, so often we talk about taking care of the basketball. We do think about not turning it over, but now we see this team going to the glass and valuing possessions kind of takes on a whole new role when you can extend that by 20 seconds with per offensive rebound. And we've seen this team do an awfully good job on the offensive side of the boards.
I'm kind of concerned about the turnovers, because if we have that few of turnovers, we're not playing fast enough. But no, Emma's added a great, each night she can come in, she does something for us. She fills up a stat column. It could be offensive rebounding. It could be she gets a stop, or she runs the floor, slashes in, and gets a rim attack on a wing. I mean, she just does. There's something, it's like she picks and chooses, my team needs me to do something here. And tonight, I'm going to focus on that area. So she's been a very valuable member coming off the bench.
You've had a chance, of course, to coach a couple of these players in high school, the Keldermans. Now we're seeing both of them make a big impact, not only in the starting lineup, and Lindsay's hit some clutch threes throughout the season. We saw Peyton only score three on Saturday, but that was a huge one to kind of seal that game against Pittsburgh State. What's this like for you going from seeing them from 13, 14 years old to grown women making some big-time plays in MIAA?
It's pretty cool. I mean, they've obviously made themselves into very good shooters, and to see where they used to be as – you know, 6th, 7th, 8th grade to right now, it's pretty amazing to see how they've improved over the years.
Bearcat basketball 7-0 to start the season. We're talking with head coach Austin Meyer and assistant coach Chris Guest. Coach Meyer, you guys' first year together, you've known each other for quite a while, but what were your expectations going in, and what's this relationship been like?
Oh, it's been awesome. You know, I call him the fireman right now. You know, the George Strait song, Fireman. You know, anybody that's a head coach knows that there's constantly fires throughout the year, throughout the day. You may have 15 things on a to-do list, and you may not get to any of them because you're trying to put out fires. And usually they're small ones. Obviously, we got 13 kids on our roster, different things here and there, classes or, you know, playing time's not where somebody wants, you know, a bunch of different things. But Coach Guess, he puts them out, man. You know, he's not one of those guys. It's almost like we got something, let me get it done. Where some people will sit and complain and sit in a room and waste time. It's just, it gets done. And obviously along with the basketball knowledge and all that stuff, but no, it's just been great. The kids, I think they enjoy the environment we've created. It's not perfect. We don't do everything right. But we feel like we treat them right. We're working hard. We got good kids, and we feel like our culture is in a good spot.
I feel like Fireman is a perfect nickname. Have you walked into his office? It's like 120 degrees in there.
It's a sauna.
I didn't know if that was the heat or if that's just coming off him.
Well, when you get older, you know.
Coach Guess, when you're coming in and you're transitioning and getting to this point as a college coach, did it take a little bit to get some of that buy-in from players that you didn't have in high school to kind of let them know, hey, I know what I'm talking about, that there's a reason I'm here?
Well, I think it helped that we got off to a good start on that first game. But I was concerned about that because I thought, okay, there's this high school guy. He's thinking, we can run, we can do this. And then when we finally started seeing some of the benefits from it, I think that got the buy-in. But Coach has been great about giving a great deal of latitude with responsibility and things and just kind of letting me go with it. And then he goes, as long as we average 80 points a game, because if not, you're fired. So I'm a little worried.
High expectations. How's that?
The Ferentz deal, right, at Iowa?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, we're at 78 points per game right now, so it's still within reach.
I'm on the bubble.
What is the bench dynamic like? Because I know Coach Mack has some guys that he likes to kind of, he has to get some steam off. What's the feeling like between you two? Which, Coach Meyer, you're very polite and great on the sideline, but, you know, I'm curious the conversations.
I mean, there's not a lot. I feel like I get so ingrained with what's going on the floor. And, you know, he's kind of does our substitution. He calls out what we think we should run here. So, you know, I there's not a ton of interaction. Obviously, we're going to get together in timeouts and in halftime as well. But, you know, we have a pretty good rotation right now with who we're playing. You know, we're playing, obviously Peyton Kellerman starting, obviously shoots it well. Has been a kid that's played a lot of years for us in this league. And then we got Emma Atwood, like he mentioned, coming off the bench. Now, if we want to go a little bit bigger, we got Laney and Molly kind of substituting for each other. So, when one of those two gets tired, the other one goes in, our fives are playing kind of that tandem. So, I think that's helped, that just to have somebody to bounce ideas off and what do you think rotation wise. And we're pretty much on the same page with most everything as far as that goes. And just having that, being able to go into staff meetings and, just the give a darn, I'll say, the give a darn factor is very high within our coaching staff, and we just got people across the board that care and that are really into it, and it's all about the team.
Northwest Missouri State going on the road this week, taking on Fort Hays State and Nebraska Kearney. You mentioned it before, it's a couple of really tough road trips here in women's basketball in the league. You're starting off with an undefeated Fort Hays State team that's also ranked. What are your thoughts on this group that really hasn't had a whole lot of turnover except the head coach, who's also been on the bench for 12 years already? So you kind of know it's going to be a tough Hays team.
Yeah, like Coach Guest was just talking about a little bit before we got here, just they're kind of similar to us, and they're wanting to score in transition. They'll run some high-low stuff. They want to get it inside. They have experienced players as well. They got kids that can shoot it. Katie Wagner is one of the, if not the toughest kid in our league, just plays really hard in great shape, super competitive, tough, physical. So that's going to be a big challenge for us. And, you know, it's a tough place to play. It's one of the tougher places in the country to play, especially them coming in 6-0, the experience they have. And so it'll be a fun one for sure. I know our kids are ready to go play.
I know the last few years Hayes has had some success against Northwest, but the last two times out, when you head out to Hayes, it's been a three-point loss and a one-point loss. It's a Bearcat team that, even though they may not come in with a win, you played well when you've gone there. Is it an atmosphere thing? Is it just something about that court?
Yeah, I don't know. We've played pretty well offensively the last few years there. So hopefully they understand it and they go in there with confidence. You know, hopefully we're going into every game confident, because we feel like we're, you know, yeah, we played some teams tough and did this and that last year, but this is a totally different team. So hopefully our confidence level is at an all-time high, but also understanding, like, we got to get better today when we go to practice tonight. We got to make sure we're locked into the scouting report. We got to do those process things to put us in position to have a chance to win the game. And like you said, if we play hard and we play with energy and we defend, we feel like we're going to be in games. And you may have a night where you don't shoot it good, and if you do those things, you still win the game. You may have nights where you do those things, you don't shoot it well, team's really good, and you get beat. And then maybe you have those nights where you do everything really well, and obviously the result is where you want it. But controlling what you can control is the biggest things. We always try to talk to our kids about that, whether it be on the floor and in life. You know, control what you control and kind of see what happens.
Not to look too far down the line, but Kearney coming up on Saturday, another new coach. Of course, this guy coming from Newman, so you kind of have an idea of him. Is this a similar Kearney team to what we've seen in the past? You see some principles coming from the Jets, or how's that dynamic work?
Yeah, a little bit different. I mean, they're still gonna defend, defend hard. Probably play maybe a little bit faster, but personnel wise, it's a different team from all the kids that they graduated last year. You know, the Amys took a couple kids with them to Idaho, so a different team, but obviously 6-7-1 right now, really good team that'll again be a challenge.
Coach Gass, you really looking forward to first chance to make the Hayes Kearney swing?
Yes,
the top
I can't
of your
wait.
List.
Little bus time, get to watch some game film, spend more time with Coach. It'll be fun.
There's a solid 15 museums between here and Hayes, Kansas, yeah, that you guys can stop at.
Part of his contract was to take him on a couple of vacations. So
there
we
go.
Yeah, Hayes,
well,
America.
You've got Minnesota off the list. You got Hayes.
Yeah.
We've got Oklahoma coming up 1st of January, so it's going to be pretty good.
We're just hoping for no bus breakdowns.
We've got some adventures already so far.
We have.
The biggest jump for you, going from head coach of high school a season ago, you're a Hall of Fame coach up in Iowa, but now you're doing it at the college game. When you kind of look at that, does it feel night and day, or does it feel like you're just, it's basketball?
It's basketball, but it's fun to be able to go in your office and not feel guilty watching game film during the day instead of waiting until school's out. But no, it's been blast.
Well, it's been great having you on. Appreciate coming on and talking with us. Coach Meyer, as always, enjoy having you on the show, and we'll look forward to more great basketball ahead for Northwest Missouri State.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Austin Meyer and Chris Guest joining us. The Bearcats getting set to head to Hayes, Kansas this weekend for a matchup on Thursday with the Fort Hays State Tigers, then on to Kearney, Nebraska coming up on Saturday. We'll take a timeout and be back to wrap things up here on KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is underwritten by Consumers Oil Company in Maryville. Consumers Oil carries a full line of feeds from Purina and Land O'Lakes, along with gates, water tanks, and bulk bins to fit a variety of needs. More information at consumersoilmaryville.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest Missouri community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prinery House. More at Conception Abbey.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from The Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
Back on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, wrapping things up here from the Palms. Matt Tritton with you. John Coffey also standing by. We have Colin McDonough and Mason Graver with us as well. Want to give you a programming note coming up on Thursday. We'll have Bearcat basketball. Northwest Missouri State heading to Hayes, Kansas to take on Fort Hayes State. The women tip off at 5:30. The men at 7:30. Pregame for the women begins at 5 o'clock. And then coming up on Saturday, the Bearcats head to Kearney, Nebraska to take on UNK. That's a 1:30 tip for the women. Actually, let me check my schedule. I think that's a 2 o'clock tip for the women. 1:30 is pregame for the women's broadcast. The men will follow at approximately 4 o'clock coming up on a Saturday afternoon. That's going to wrap things up for us here from the Palms on KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe. Thanks for tuning in. For John Coffey, I'm Matt Tritton saying so long from downtown Maryville.